The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
All right, welcome to the podcast. It's Stu and Pat and also Jeffy. So we have, first of all, Pat Gray Unleashed, the podcast. You can go right now. You can stop this podcast and go subscribe to that one right now. Just search for Pat Gray Unleashed wherever you're listening to this. You can also, I guess, search for Jeff Fisher or Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
And as long as you're already in the subscribing mood, just subscribe to Chewing the Fat. Let's be done.
Might as well. Seems like a good idea in some worlds. And then also, the tour is coming to Florida. If you are in Florida or around the area, come visit us, Tampa and Orlando, on November 30th and December 1st, I believe, are the dates. Just go to glenbeck.com/tour.
Those are going to be fun.
Yeah. That's going to be really fun. It's a fun show. Today we kind of decided to kind of spend a little time the day before Thanksgiving thinking about things we were actually thankful for. Some good news. We have some good news about the prosecution of terrorist networks across the world. We have some good news about the world in general. People are living longer and they are able to feed themselves like never before.
Violent crime is down.
Violent crime is down.
By a lot.
Diseases are going, are being cut in half in many cases. Even school shootings. The stats on school shootings are worth the whole show, I think, today.
But most importantly, food is more prevalent.
Well, yeah, I'm not surprised you're focusing on that, but yes, that is an important development. We also talk about some movies. We have Creed 2. I saw it last night. We have a kind of segment on that if you're looking for a movie this weekend. Pat has a couple of recommendations as well. We'll get into it during the show. We do a special Thanksgiving edition of Spoons, the place that we sample the most delicious new junk foods from around the country. We have a very bizarre Thanksgiving dinner. Turkey and gravy and pumpkin pie potato chips. Capitalism is amazing, and it does some strange things, too.
We may have discovered something magical today.
No, we kind of did.
There's no may have. We did discover something magical.
You'll need to know about this. Yeah. It's coming up on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program. It's Wednesday, November 21st.
I feel like pizza at any time is a valuable addition to any particular moment. So, by the way, you can have a Field of Greens. If you're going to eat like I'm going to eat this week, I think Field of Greens might be a good choice for you because you might be skipping the vegetables. You might be skipping.
I will be. I will.
I was listening to you talk about the gala the other day. And you said the food was really good, so I decided to try the green bean. And it was a huge mistake.
Yeah, I almost threw up.
Because they're green beans.
Yes.
You can just have the good food on your plate with a Field of Greens and have a scoop of this and, you know, it's a juice or even some foods. You can do it, whatever it tastes. It tastes good, so you can mix it with a lot of stuff. It's one of these superfoods that's actually food. It's not some crazy extract or some weird additive or whatever. Check it out. Field of Greens from Brick House Nutrition. Let's go to BrickHouseGlen.com. BrickHouseGlen.com. Use the promo code GLEN to get 15% off your first order. It's BrickHouseGlen.com.
I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, because like it's Wednesday, tough. It's on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, you're already in that mode.
Yes, I'm trying not to eat in that mode today because I feel
I'm trying not to as well.
It's hard, man. It's
almost
hard.
Impossible. It's almost impossible. There's food everywhere.
Everywhere.
And after Thanksgiving, you think, okay, then now I'll cut back. And then there's food everywhere again because you're preparing for Christmas. And it's almost impossible.
Well, Thanksgiving is a day in which you eat a lot of food. And you kind of don't care. And that's okay. Everyone kind of says, it's all right. You know, you have your one day. Now, over the years, I've expanded that from one day to
365 for me. Every day.
You beat me to the punch there a little bit, I guess. I do feel the expansion happening because I started with one and then you get to four. I feel like four is the right stew amount in a sensible world. Right, like you don't eat really badly until you get to Thanksgiving. You have the Thanksgiving, and then you live out and you party the weekend. Right, you party the weekend away. You come back Monday, you're eating like a human being again. Now, what always happens there, of course, is Wednesday. I mean, come on, it's Wednesday. It doesn't matter. You're basically at Thanksgiving. You might as well eat on Wednesday.
Right.
So then it goes Wednesday to Monday, and then what happens is you come back Monday and you eat okay, And then Tuesday happens, and you fall off the bandwagon, and you're like, it's basically the week of Thanksgiving. So then it goes from the previous Wednesday to not the next Monday, but the Monday after that. And then you're almost to Christmas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then...
And there's parties.
There's parties.
You got the church party. You got the work party.
Yep.
You got friends parties.
And we've got like stuff like the kids. They got like breakfast with Santa. You've got all the little events. Mm-hmm. So then you're going through there. You might as well... eat up until
Christmas.
Just until Christmas. And then it's, you know,
but then the week
leftovers.
Between Christmas and New Year's.
It's a waste.
I mean,
you're not even getting back to work.
You're
going to
be back eating on New Year's anyway, so you might as well eat that week.
Right. So then you go New Year's, and then that's when you get the New Year's resolution. It kicks in, and you're like, okay, we're going to start. Now, you're not going to start on the 2nd most of the time, because a lot of times the 2nd isn't a work day
it's
yet.
It's too depressing a
it
day.
Depends.
You need some ice cream that day.
Yeah. This year it is a work day. So you could come back on the 2nd.
Yeah.
But again, it's like a Wednesday, I think. You're not going to start your diet on a Wednesday. So you go Wednesday, and then we wait for that next Monday. Okay.
And then you get on the scale that Monday, and you're 35 pounds heavier.
Yeah, you gained about 35 at that point.
Yeah.
Now, the problem here is this is when NFL playoffs kick in. So every Sunday and Saturday, there's games. You got to watch them. What are you going to watch them without pizza? You got to watch them without
that's
snacks.
Silly.
That's stupid. And then, obviously, Super Bowl. So then you're in your February, you know, 6th or 7th in that range.
Well, then it's Valentine's.
And then Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah.
Like you're gonna, I mean, what are you going to, you know.
Not eat on Valentine's Day?
You're going to disrespect your own relationship?
No.
Your own marriage?
Better not.
You're not going to do that. So then you're eating up until Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And my birthday, by the way, is February 9th. So in there, I've got to, what am I going to do? Not have the cake with my kids?
Right.
My daughter's birthday is also February 9th. So we have two birthdays on that day. You can't. What
the next day's Glenn's birthday. Well, you got to have cake for Glenn's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's not going to eat it because he's on some weird diet, probably.
Probably.
You know, where he only eats 80 different things in the world. He can only eat 80 things on the face of the earth.
And 6 of them are different types of squid, which is a weird. It's a strange diet.
It's a strange diet. Mm-hmm. So for him, on his behalf, we have to have cake. And so we do. And then,
once you're in February, it's basically July 4th. So you're going to ramp it up to get ready for those picnics.
What are you not going to eat on the 4th of July? You're not going to celebrate? What are you, some sort of traitor to this nation?
Right.
I hope not.
Okay, ISIS, go ahead. Go on a diet.
If I'm on a diet on the 4th of July, the terrorists win. I won't do it. I will not do it.
This is only a slight exaggeration, by the way. Only a slight one. And
it's not even an exaggeration for me. This is how it happened.
This is how it happens.
Yeah. So
you try, but you fail. That's the whole point of that. By the way, we do have some terrorism breaking news. Today, maybe, Pat, we can come up with things we're thankful for. Now, I know it's a very, you know, standard thing, right? Like where people would do that on the day before Thanksgiving. But I thought maybe instead of doing like the I'm thankful for my family and I'm thankful for blah, you know, that stuff that's just boring and everyone knows you're thankful for it. Of course I'm thankful for my family. I don't know if they're thankful for me, but you know, I'm thankful for them.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Oh, it's wonderful to see Barack Hussein Obama back in the limelight. I can't say I've missed him. I can't say it's good to have him back either. But I can say he is kind of back and omnipresent now again. And he's doing a lot of speeches because he's making somewhat of a living, you could say, from doing these speeches. Every time he shows up for an hour, he makes $400,000. Now, $400,000 an hour is kind of a decent wage. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Would you call it a living wage?
I'd call it a living wage. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I would. And then when Michelle shows up at a place, she makes $225,000, which is income inequality, it seems to me. And that
that's unbelievable.
Isn't that unbelievable? She is making $175,000 less per hour than he is.
You know what it is, too? Racism.
Racism.
You know why?
Because he's half white. White.
They're paying the white half more.
Yes! Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Here's his latest thing. And this is, I mean, people say he's talking about Trump. He's really talking about all of us here. This isn't just about Trump. Listen to how he phrases this.
Right now, I could take off the shelf existing technologies. We could reduce carbon emissions by, let's say, 30%.
Let's say that.
Without any, you know, it's not like we'd all have to go back to caves and, you know, live off, you know, fire. We could have electricity and smartphones and all that stuff, which would buy us probably another 20, 30 years for that technological breakthrough that's necessary. The reason we don't do it is because...
It's because...
We are still...
Still...
Confused, blind...
Blind, confused.
Shrouded with...
With...
Hate, anger...
Anger, I see.
Racism.
What? Racism? Is stopping green technology?
Mommy issues.
Mommy issues.
Yeah, I mean...
What?
You know, we are fraught.
Fraught.
With stuff.
Now, I have to say, I dislike this guy. I don't hate him. I want to make that clear. I don't hate him. I don't hate anybody.
No, of course not.
I just dislike him with all the intensity of a billion white-hot burning suns.
Okay.
But that's it's not hate. Okay. It's just extremely intense dislike.
We should also focus on the idea that this is an incredibly bad point. Right, like
yes.
First of all, yes, we have the technology to lower emissions by 30%. At what cost? Like that's the conversation here, and whether it's worth doing at that
but
cost.
But the reason we don't do it is we're fraught with hate, anger, and mommy
race and
issues.
Racism.
What the hell are you talking about?
Are we racist against green? Like, is that the case? It's green
so
technology.
Weird.
That's so strange, and it's such an easy explanation for every issue that progressives don't get what they want. It's racism, it's hate, it's mommy issues, clinging to God and guns. It's the same explanation he uses all the time.
Typical white people. Who have a certain reaction to black people bred into them.
Yeah.
You talk about racist issues, this guy's got them to like the 10th power.
Yes.
He's got them.
He does. It's constant focus on race. We've made this point back in the day with Glenn, right? Like it's not, you know, racism is a weird thing to throw around. And the left has no problem doing it all the time. When someone on the right says something is racist, it's the biggest controversy on earth. But the bottom line is he's constantly viewing everything through a racial prism. The man just told you the reason we don't use solar panels is because of racism. How can you deny this?
That's unreal.
This is exactly how he looks through about every issue. And it's completely all over the left. You know, you look at watch a Chris Matthews show. The guy can't go 5 minutes without calling somebody racist. It's just the way these things happen. And I don't mean to on a holiday weekend tell you to watch Chris Matthews. That's not a good idea. I take that back. That's a bad one though. That's a bad one.
Oh, that's agonizing.
You know, it makes me think. You know, we've been talking a little bit about Michelle Obama and a potential run. I don't know. I mean, I don't think they can stay away from this stuff.
Oh, they can't.
They can't. They can't avoid it.
Can't.
And I don't know if that would work.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening.
Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
So let's talk about Relief Factor for a moment, if we should, Pat.
All right.
Pat, Relief Factor is something that's changed Glenn's life for the better. For over 4 years, Relief Factor has been helping people here at The Blaze with pain. You know, if you have that kind of consistent nagging sort of pain, a lot of that's caused by inflammation. And Relief Factor is a great way to fight against that. If you're one of the people if you've got little kids, you're chasing them around all the time. You've got little grandkids, you're chasing around all the time. You want to play tennis or golf or whatever, and you keep having pain, Relief Factor is a great thing to try. They've got a 3-week quick start that makes it really easy. So for $19.95, they'll send you 3 weeks of it. This is when you're going to start feeling the difference. And if it works for you, you can continue with it. 70% of people, it's over 70% actually, wind up buying more once they get the 3-week quick start. It's working for them. Let's see if it will work for you. If you want a drug-free and natural way to ease your pain, go to relieffactor.com. Relieffactor.com is the place to go. Glenn uses it. A lot of people here at The Blaze do as well. Relieffactor.com. We've been talking a little bit about the things we're thankful for that are actually positive, some positive news in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We've pointed out a few of them already, Certainly Creed 2 would be one of those things I'm thankful for. But there's let me give you this. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Matt Ridley wrote this. This is an amazing thing. And I know you know the answer to this, but I think the second part of it is fascinating. A Swedish statistician, public health expert, began asking people the question, has the percentage of the world population that lives in extreme poverty, has it almost doubled or almost halved or stayed the same over the past 20 years? Now, I think you know the answer there, Pat, and I think some people in the audience might know the answer, which is it's almost halved in the past 20 years, again, in our lifetime.
And you got to believe the perception among especially young people, I'm guessing, is that it's doubled. Right? Poverty is doubled.
It's doubled. And I think the vast majority of people might think that. But the percentage is amazing. Only 5% got the answer right.
Wow.
5%.
Wow.
Now, think of the achievement that this is. It's one of the greatest achievements in human history. Okay? You've taken the people who are in extreme poverty, cut it by half in two decades? That's insane. That should not be possible. And almost every, I don't think it was believed to be possible 20 years ago. And here we are 20 years later, it's happened and nobody notices. Only 5% of Americans are aware of it, which is fascinating. And it, you know, his story is about how people are drawn to negative news. People are drawn to think the worst. But, you know, it's kind of the fight or flight thing, I think, at some level. Like you're concerned about something. They ran tests on, you know, experiments on, psychologists ran them on people in sort of random tests, and they would get people who said they wanted good news. They wanted the good news, and then when they had the opportunity, always gravitated to the negative news. And maybe that's, you know, like it's a survival instinct at some level, like you want to try to survive, and so you're worried about whatever threat might be out there, so you're looking at negative stories more routinely, but it is strange that we are like that. It's hard to enjoy life when you're like that. And you look at the numbers that go through, and if you have a copy of, give me a copy. You got a copy of Addicted to Outrage over there. If you have a copy of Addicted to Outrage, you'll see this in the book. The stats in here are quite amazing. This is to see how far we've come. To see how far the globe has come, but also the United States, is really amazing. People who are considered poor in the United States, the number is, I mean, we're talking about major, major things that weren't even available. Matt Ridley talks about this in his book, The Rational Optimist, which is a book I really like. And he talks about King Louis. And, you know, King Louis back in the day, what would he do? He could have anything he wanted. So what he would do is every night when it was time for dinner, he would order his servants.
You're talking about the orangutan in Jungle Book?
Yes.
King Louis, that one? Okay.
Yeah. And so he would have his big, like, king-like medieval table, right? And it would be that, you know, your long rectangular table. And people would, he would direct his servants every night to bring him every kind of food available. So it was they would make all the different kinds of foods. They would bring all the different kinds of fruits and vegetables that were available. All the foods that you could possibly want. And he was the king. He could do whatever he wanted. And so he brought everything. And, you know, he would eat, obviously he couldn't eat all of the foods. He would eat a little bit of it and the rest would be, you know, either thrown away or given to the staff or whatever. But he got to choose whatever he wanted first because he was the freaking king. We now have that at Golden Corral.
Yeah.
Any person who wants to spend $8 can go to Golden Corral and eat as much as they want. Every grocery store you walk into has thousands and thousands more choices than King Louis could have ever had.
Oh, my gosh.
And not to mention the quality of it.
Yeah. Right.
You know? I mean, right. King Louis didn't have red velvet Oreos.
Really?
Yeah. Which
Are
is,
you sure?
Yeah.
They didn't?
Why?
No wonder all those people died. Oh, my gosh.
Was it the plague or was it suicide? I don't know. You were just like, ah, screw it. Where are the Oreos? But I mean, seriously, like you have more choices now, and it can be afforded by almost everybody in the United States to go eat almost anything you want all the time. We have this giant problem now with obesity rather than starvation. That is not something has been common in the world's history.
Yeah, and it's, you know what? It's still not as common in the rest of the world as it is here.
No.
I mean, go to Bulgaria and see if you have the choices that the United States of America does.
No.
With the constitution we have and the form of and the kind of economy we have here with capitalism, with the free market.
That's true. It's all, all of these things are better here, right?
Yes.
But I mean, even in Bulgaria, you can go to a restaurant in which, quote unquote, servants will come and servers instead of servants, but they'll come and they'll bring you food that has been prepared, and you get to order anything you want off a menu.
And you don't have to do the dishes afterwards.
Right. I mean, yes,
it's a pretty good deal.
But that's a pretty good deal. This is from Addicted to Outrage. For all of eternity, man was able to stay alive without a refrigerator, electricity, radio, microwave, or color television. It might have been hot, sticky, and a lot less entertaining, but survival was possible. Today, each of these self-evident luxury items, when measured against all of human history, are owned between 96.3 and 99.3% of all households.
Jeez,
I mean,
wow.
That's amazing. The computer, when Bill Clinton was elected, this is not that long ago. I mean, it's a while. I mean, if you watched the Lewinsky thing, you realize it. I mean, just by the quality of the video back then, before HD, you realize how it feels a lot longer ago than it was. But when Bill Clinton was elected, only 20% of American households had a computer. 20%! When Barack Obama left office, more than 80% had a computer. And the 20% that didn't have one, it wasn't largely because, well, they couldn't afford a computer or the computers weren't available enough. It was because more than half had a tablet.
Oh, yeah.
Almost everyone had a smartphone far more powerful than any computer even available during the Clinton years. You think King Louis had computers? No.
No, he didn't.
But this is just back in the Clinton years. People didn't have them. The average price of land that produces, the average piece of land that produces corn now yields 8.6 times as much corn as it did during World War II. 8.6 times as much.
Wow.
Think about all the people we had to feed. Think about all the environmentalists who've warned us over the years that massive people were going to starve because we wouldn't be able to produce as much food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that piece of land is doing 8.6 times as much, which is only positive if you like corn. I understand that. You might not like it. But, I mean, feeding people is pretty freaking important. And we're able to do that like we've never been able to do it before. The portion of the U.S. population that is homeless and unsheltered. Around the world, it's 20%. In the U.S., 0.1%.
That is a stunning statistic.
200 times worse around the world.
Wow.
And we question capitalism? We question the free market? It's 200 times worse.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
That's amazing.
The homicide rate in the United States has dropped by about half from the levels of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. While the media constantly warns of the epidemic of rape culture, the rate of forcible rape has dropped by over 30% since the 90s, even in Hollywood, apparently.
As we talk about the caravan that's in Tijuana now, you know what the murder rate in, you know what the murder number in Tijuana so far this year is? It's over 2,200 people murdered in a town of 1.6 million.
Oh,
2,200. You know what the number is in 8 million resident New York City this year?
No.
147.
Oh,
147 compared to over 2,200 in Tijuana.
But we definitely shouldn't have a border wall. I want to make sure
no
that's
border
clear.
Wall.
We don't
want
to keep that separate from us.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And the strides that we've made in reducing crime like that in this country are unbelievable. And yes, it's still too high. You don't want 147 people to be murdered in New York or anywhere else.
Of course.
But that's an amazing achievement because the number used to be over 2,000 in New York.
It was basically Tijuana.
It was.
Except more people, so the ratio wasn't as bad. But
right.
still, it was
but still,
the same amount of murder.
It was bad for us back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And we've made unbelievable strides since then.
It's incredible. Perhaps the most surprising, and I know this as a parent of two small kids going to school. You know, one of these school shootings happen, and, you know, you can't help but freak out a little bit. You can't help but, you know, you just don't want that to happen to your kid, and it seems like it's just like this foreign thing that has come out of nowhere. And while obviously I'm not for the gun restrictions and the kind of silliness that the left suggests for such a thing. I mean, how ridiculous is this? Let's say you ban AR-15s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then people with $1,200 to spend on guns instead buy what, three or four different guns, you know, with the same amount of money.
Yes.
So there's, at the end of the day, more guns on the street. This is what happened in the 90s when they tried an assault weapons ban. More guns on the street after it than before it.
And by the way, the kind of guns that are responsible for most murders in this country.
Yeah.
Most murders are from handguns.
Overwhelmingly,
they're
handguns.
They're not from rifles,
right? Which is it's just so stupid. It's such a. I mean, it like, but it's stupid with a understandable emotional backing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, get it. When I see these things, I feel the same way. I have kids. I want this to stop. It's heart-wrenching. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But this is this number, I will say, shocked me more than any number that we had talked about as going through and putting this book together. The number of school shootings has dropped dramatically. The rate of students killed per million in fatal school shootings has dropped by over 75%.
That's really something.
That is shocking to me.
And hard to believe, because you would think it's triple what it used to be.
Yeah.
The way the media handles this, the stories.
Yeah.
And we start buying into it. And you know.
You do. It's hard not to. You get beat over the head by it all the time.
Yeah.
And the emotion is certainly there. But I mean, have you heard that stat on CNN or even Fox?
No.
I
haven't.
You don't. Now, researchers at Northeastern, the ones that put this together, said that this means, quote, four times the number of children were killed in schools in the early 90s as today.
Wow.
Four times. And this is what was fascinating to me. I was in high school in the 90s. That's when I was there. When I was in school. Yeah, you too.
Me too.
When we were in school.
Late
90s,
though. Because I think you were.
Oh, I was early 90s. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But the point is, when I was in school with absolutely no fear of a school shooting ever.
Oh, I know.
Ever. I was four times as likely to be killed in a school shooting than kids are today.
Absolutely amazing.
That is incredible.
It's an amazing statistic.
That's something to be thankful for.
Yes.
That's an incredible improvement. As they summarize it, quote, there is not an epidemic of school shootings, end quote. This is not a conservative, this is Northeastern University.
Yeah, that's not done by the Republican Party.
No, not at all. And that is real, truly amazing. And what we've seen, I think, and part of what explains that, is we've seen a rise in the large number of, like, the mass incident event, right? Where someone goes in and shoots 10 people.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was more spread out, but in a way, that's more dangerous, right? Like, if you happen to be the incredibly unlucky person who happens to be at a school where a mass school shooting goes off, I mean, the odds against it are incredible.
The mass shootings are up.
Mass shootings are. I don't have the stats.
But the smaller shootings now, in more places are way down.
Way down. And so you were probably, you're going to be more likely for your school to be involved in a death back then by a ton of times. Now, mass shootings overall, the peak was actually in the late 20s when you talk about mass shootings in general. But there are different varieties of this statistic, and you can find it. But again, they're down since the 90s, all of them. Mm-hmm. Because we've had a great amount of improvement. How about this? If you're of a certain age, you may remember being terrified of polio, right?
Yeah.
1952, there were 57,879 cases of polio in the United States. In 2017, there were zero.
It's amazing.
Zero. Completely wiped out in this country.
And that's because of the vaccine that you took as a sugar cube when I was a kid.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Among men in the United States, if you're a dude, you're going to be happy about some of this. Death rates from colon cancer have dropped by 30%.
Oh, that's another thing I would think was way up.
Yeah, right? Because that's now all you hear about, like, having to get checked every six, mm-hmm. minutes, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Lung cancer has dropped by 40%. Prostate cancer, again, another one of those that you'd think was up, mm-hmm. has dropped by 45%.
Wow.
Death from stomach cancer has dropped by 50%. All since 1990. How about breast cancer? We wear a lot of pink socks on the football field. You got pink socks and pink pants, and that's going mm-hmm. on, and that's great. I don't like the pink uniforms in football, but I mean, the donations are great. Among women, the death rate from breast cancer has dropped by 35%.
Wow. Wow.
That's all really, really freaking good news that we never, ever mm-hmm. contemplate anymore.
Definitely stuff to be thankful for. And you would never guess it. And I think part of that, though, is the 24-hour news cycle. I think part of that is there's so much news that's disseminated, and you hear about it all the time. Everything that happens, you hear about it nonstop.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
home title lock is, if you're going to have Thanksgiving dinner, you're probably going to have it at home. You might want to have that home protected. And we've talked a lot about all the different ways to prepare, whether it's food storage or a security system in your home. But this is one you may not have thought of. Home title fraud is one of the fastest growing crimes in America because titles and mortgages are stored online where thieves all over the world can hunt them. And once they get them, they can do quick transfers and make it so they can borrow money against your equity. They can even sell your home. Don't be a victim of home identity theft. No bank identity theft program or insurance is going to protect you against this. You got to do what I did and start sign up for HomeTitleLock.com. Pennies a day, Home Title Lock will put a barrier around your home's title and mortgage, and the instant something happens, they are there to fix it. Get your $100 search free. See if you're already a victim. HomeTitleLock.com. It's HomeTitleLock.com.
You can join me, Pat Gray, for Pat Gray Unleashed every weekday, immediately preceding this show. 6 to 8 Central, it's 7 to 9 Eastern, and then you could check it out on the podcast at your leisure any time of the day.
And if you have a significant mental issue, you can join Jeff Fisher on Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Hard to believe you'd want to, but, you know, there's no accounting for taste.
Not only do people want to, I mean, they really want to purchase the Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher coffee mug.
I love it. Your face is ingrained in a steak.
I forgot about that.
That's great.
I want that one.
That's
actually.
Awesome.
I need to
get that. That's awesome. You can get it at shop.theblaze.com.
They have a big Black Friday sale going on, too. So
they do.
Check it out. Jeffy, we have a special edition of Spoons. Now, if you're not a long-term fan of the program or of the network, you might not know Spoons, but Spoons was a segment we did and gained about 50 pounds doing during the Pat and Stu show.
We've all lost weight since we stopped doing Spoons.
It's weird. Amazing.
It's weird. Oddly surprising.
It started as, you know, we should try some strange different foods just for, you know, a cute little segment. And then it went from, you know, let's just eat every day. Spoons.
And it was named Spoons because it was the only word Jeffy could say.
At the time.
Spoons.
Yes.
So we named it that.
We did. So we have a Thanksgiving-themed spoon. Should we start there, Jeffy, before we get to your stories of the day?
Okay.
All right. So we have a full Thanksgiving dinner in potato chip form. We start with turkey and gravy-flavored potato chips.
Nice.
Limited time only at 7-Eleven.
Oh, that's disappointing. I can only get this for the Thanksgiving season.
Mm-hmm. What about Christmas?
This one that I'm not going to partake in.
What? Oh, you're not?
No, this is not going to go down my...
Why not?
It's just flavored. It's not actual meat.
Yes.
You know. Okay, so this is Thanksgiving and gravy.
Yes. So this is your main meal. And potato. I would say mashed potatoes in there, too.
Turkey. Because,
you know, it's potato. How's that land? The face of Pat does not look particularly pleased with these potato chips.
I mean, it's not bad, but I'm not really getting turkey and gravy
from it. What are you getting? Can you describe?
Potato chip, salty, and...
kind of blech.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, it's certainly not screaming turkey and gravy. Mm-mm. Is it to you, Jeffy?
No.
They had a sausage and peppers chip for a while at 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven is like, they're becoming like food laboratories over there. They're just constantly coming out with new crazy flavors of chips and stuff. So if you're near one, it's worth stopping by every once in a while just to check what crazy thing they've come up with. Turkey and gravy, eh? What do you think?
It almost just tastes like a normal potato chip to me.
Just.
I'm not.
I don't get turkey and gravy.
Okay. Yeah, so what's your? You have a. What, our scale is 1 to 18. What is your scale?
Look at that. Nine.
And then for dessert, we have pumpkin pie flavored potato chips.
I want this.
Okay.
I kind of want this to be good too. Sweet potato chips are not something you dive into that often, but I'm kind of excited about them.
Mmm. Yeah. I'm definitely getting pumpkin from this.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Oh yeah.
That's pretty good.
That is pumpkin-flavored potato chip.
Are you
as advertised,
guy Jeffy? Are you like pumpkin pie?
I've had a couple slices over the years.
Mm. Have you?
Yeah, a couple.
Just a couple.
Once in a while, over the holidays, you know, they're around.
I mean, look, am I diving into this bag, you know, twice a week with lunch? No.
But
at one time,
it's
like
not bad.
If I were to have like a Thanksgiving party and you put out a bowl of these things, I think that would work pretty well.
I actually like them.
Not to know.
That's good, and it is pumpkin pie, much more so than the turkey and gravy thing.
So yeah, it's
I would eat.
Yeah, I give this a 14 on a scale of 1 to 18.
All right.
Yeah, I'll give it about a 14. Sounds about right.
All right, we have a couple more things here before we get to the Jeffy stories of the day. Brand new soda from Coca-Cola California Raspberry.
Okay.
Now this is much different than
Is this brand new?
An Arizona raspberry soda. They do have raspberry in the machines where you can have all the crazy flavors, the freestyle machines.
Oh.
There's a raspberry variety, but I've never seen
it
in a
bottle. But it's not California
before.
Raspberry,
right,
is
like
it?
It's like Arizona raspberry or something. Or Nevada raspberry. Which doesn't even count as far
is
as
it
I
too
know.
Too soon to make a... Nah, never mind. We'll make the California joke.
All right.
California raspberry.
Yeah, please don't. Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Definitely a high raspberry taste.
Yeah, it's an absolute raspberry feel to it.
Good.
A penetrating raspberry flavor.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
It's pretty good.
It's yeah. It's very sweet. Again, it's regular Coke, and I don't. I'm a big artificial sweetener fan. If you don't know that, no, so it's a very.
This is definitely not Coke Zero.
Very sweet, very yeah, sweet. Very but sweet. The flavor's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd give it a, 12.
Yeah, I'm in that.
I'll go 12.
I'll give it 11 on that one.
Raspberry is good. I used to get up in the morning and have raspberries in milk. With my grandma, and that's where I like raspberries. Wait, really, and Coca-Cola.
What did you do? You got up in the morning and had raspberries.
Breakfast, raspberries and milk. And I don't really like it in Coke.
Well, first of all, you've drank almost the entire bottle, so you seem to like it.
I'm trying to wash away the turkey and gravy chips.
Raspberries and, is that a normal thing? Raspberries and milk?
So good.
I have never heard of it, but that's not surprising when it involves Jeffy.
All right.
It's so good.
We also have several flavors of M&Ms. You can get these as well at your local convenience
these
stores.
Do?
Okay.
Some of them are not. We're going to start with a kind of a palate cleanser here. The crispy M&M. Here. Crispy M&Ms, if you don't know. Kind of an M&M.
I've never had crispy
almost like
M&Ms.
Almost like a malted milk ball, almost in the middle. It's not quite. It's that same consistency, like of a Whopper in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like them.
They're good. They're light.
Oh, that's good.
They're crunchy. They're pretty delicious. We use that as mainly, because those have been around for a while, we use that as a setup here for the winning flavor for M&Ms.
Really good.
The crunchy mint.
Give these a 16.
16? Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are really good.
I like them.
Crunchy mint M&Ms.
Ooh, these might be really good.
Now, I'm a big fan of the mint products.
Me too.
And as we're about to gorge ourselves for a day, we got to give you some new options. Mint M&Ms. Mm. They used to have these. These are the mint crunchies.
Mm. You know, they're kind of like a peppermint patty.
But yeah.
Only crunchy.
Yes. Yeah, very
but
similar.
But the taste is really similar. Same kind of chocolate, same kind of minty flavor.
Mm-hmm. Good, though.
But good, yeah. I like it.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
These are like a 14.
Yeah, I'll give those a 15. I like those. But notice we're not getting any numbers from Jeffy because
he can't do it.
We say that the highest number he knows is 18, but he really can't count all the numbers in between, so he doesn't really know.
I mean, good, not good. That's good enough, right?
Mm.
Good,
no.
Not good.
It's actually not,
good.
But and these are what?
Final flavor is strawberry nut M&Ms.
Oh, well, I don't like nuts, so
you're not a peanut M&M guy?
No.
Ooh.
Trying these out here.
Have you had the caramels? I know I'm jumping ahead to M&M's, but the M&M.
That's I like the strawberry flavor.
It tastes like an ice cream sundae.
I'd rather have it without the nut peanut in it, but it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. These are all good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, M&M's.
I'll give that a 15.
Yeah. No, I'll give it a 13.
Is there a bad M&M?
Well, I don't like pretzels. A lot of people like the pretzel M&M's. I do not. I hate pretzels.
It's amazing how many flavors of M&Ms there now are.
I would agree. It's incredible. Like, you don't have to like look hard to find a bunch of crazy flavors of M&Ms.
The caramels are great.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, God,
those are
so,
so addictive.
Mm-hmm. So good. Those are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Those are dangerous to have around you. Now, so overall, I would say I like the pumpkin pie ones.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I like
I recommend all the flavors of the M&Ms.
Yeah, they're all good. The crunchy mint ones, I think, might have been my favorite out of those. I like that
for sure.
A lot.
The crunchy were my favorite. And then the California raspberry Coke was not bad.
Decent.
Yeah.
Decent. See, this is the sort of information you're getting from this program.
Powerful.
Turkey and gravy, though, bad.
Powerful information.
Don't waste your money on this.
No, the turkey and gravy is not worth it.
I mean, think about it. This is Jeffy saying, don't eat a potato chip.
That's amazing.
It's in front of you. You have to eat it. I opened the bag. I'm going to finish it.
That's actually not a rule.
But
none of these are rules.
No,
you don't have to finish them. You don't have to eat them when you're in front. This this might be part of the issue with you.
You put it on your plate, you eat it. That's the rule.
You don't have a plate.
You're
eating it out of a
bag.
You
open the bag, you eat it. That's the rule. That's a law, I think. I'm pretty sure that's a law.
This is the sort of insight you get on Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher, and it's no surprise that the word fat is in the title when you hear that sort
just
of
a name.
Information. Do you have some stories for us?
Just a couple. You know, I'm kind of sad. You know how big I am on – we got done
we do
trying
know how big
these
you are.
Food,
were you
how big
us?
I am on salads.
Oh, on salads.
And I love salads, uh-huh. And especially for Thanksgiving. Especially for Thanksgiving. I mean, nothing says Thanksgiving like a salad. But
what?
You know that. But the Centers for Disease Control are telling you, look out, romaine lettuce, all of it, throw it away. They're making a big recall again.
No matter where it comes from?
Doesn't matter.
No matter where you live?
Doesn't. Get rid of it.
Because we just ate romaine lettuce last night.
You did? You're supposed to. Really, you're
big
not
outbreak
to.
Of E. coli.
I didn't know until after we ate it, and then I saw the story.
They're telling people to throw away any romaine lettuce that they already have in their homes. Wow. Don't buy it. Pull it off the shelves. 32 people in 11 states have been infected. 13 people have been hospitalized. One person developed a type of kidney failure. Now, remember, they had the big breakout a few months ago, and that actually killed people. Five people lost their lives a few months ago from
romaine lettuce. I don't think I even heard that. From romaine lettuce?
Yes, for the E. coli breakout before, earlier this year.
So, if
so I don't know what they're doing to the romaine lettuce.
Iceberg lettuce is okay?
Yes.
That's all right.
Just romaine.
Just
Now, yeah, the recall is just romaine. Now, on the safe side, I would say don't eat any.
No salad at all.
No salad
at all.
I would say all vegetables. That's going to hurt my Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You know, I don't...
Now, I say this warning about staying away from vegetables lasts for the next couple years, right?
Yes.
If your wife is asking you to eat vegetables.
For me, this is extended to kale because that's also a leafy type of substance.
All vegetables, I think, are on the table
Spinach,
here to remove from your
kale,
life.
Yeah, you can't eat that.
Brussels sprouts, broccoli, green beans.
Oh, yeah.
It extends to all of it.
By the way, there's a survey that came out about the most disproportionately common Thanksgiving sides by region. So what are the sides on Thanksgiving that are regional in nature? Some of the, this is a clear case for you might need to move, in my opinion.
Yeah, I saw this. I don't know that I believe it.
Well, listen to this. The whole western half of the United States, basically, is salad.
Yeah, that's why I don't believe it.
What?
Salad.
Salad.
Now, that is the most
just generic salad?
Yeah,
salad.
The main common side that you relate to Thanksgiving and that part. No.
Salad.
I've lived in the West most of my life. That's untrue.
It is the most disproportionately common.
No to that.
So, everybody might have turkey. Everybody might have mashed potatoes, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the most disproportionately common is salad in the West. Now, that just means that people in the East aren't eating any salad, which is, I think, one point
possible.
In the East's
that
favor.
You know, no kidding.
So, the Northeast is squash.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, I've seen that here or there, but I was not a popular one, and I grew up in the Northeast.
No, thank you. No squash.
Even just butternut squash?
No.
Acorn
kind of.
Squash?
No.
You know how you...
If it has the word squash after it, I don't eat it,
you would like
it,
acorn
Jeffy.
Squash, though? Is it acorn squash with brown sugar?
Nope.
Melted and butter in
no.
the...
Well, I think because of the romaine issues, I'm going to stay away from squash. just to be safe.
It's a really good safety tip. Thank
really,
you, Stu. I'm going to follow your
idea.
Lead.
In the northern sort of central area, Minnesota, 12 or 13 Dakotas, that area is green bean casserole, which
that's pretty
so
much,
nasty.
That's what?
Oh, I like green bean casserole.
Oh, so
no,
nasty.
That's the only way that the crunchy fried onion people make a living.
It's true. That's a good
I don't
one.
Like onions and I don't like green beans.
You know,
not doing it.
From Ohio to sort of Michigan, Wisconsin.
There's a reason I eat, the Brick House Nutrition Field of Greens.
Yes.
There's a reason. There's a reason I eat.
You don't want to eat actual vegetables.
Yeah, I don't
you
eat
want
actual
to hide
vegetables.
The, hide the taste
yes.
of them. In the Ohio, Michigan, sort of Wisconsin area is rolls and biscuits. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Texas is cornbread in our sort of region around Texas. Is
for Thanksgiving.
Cornbread
that's
for Thanksgiving.
And that's surprising that it's not farther down south. All the whole south is cornbread because they're big fans.
To me, the Southeast has this thing won. That's mac and cheese.
Oh, wow.
Mac and cheese on Thanksgiving is a wonderful addition to your Thanksgiving.
It is a good addition.
It would be.
You got to have it. I think that...
I lived in the South for quite a while, and I don't recall that as being a prominent side.
My friend, I hate to break this to you. You live in the South right now and have for the last several years.
And I still don't recall mac and cheese.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.